Listen, I look around our crowd and I know we're not all spring chickens. But just a great reminder, and I think of this with a smile, Dr. Pepper, who we just prayed about in Sierra Leone, was one of my professors in college. Okay, I am now almost 52 years old, so that tells you what age Dr. Pepper is. I believe when he went to Sierra Leone to open that field for the first time, he had passed his 70th birthday. So he was breaking out into a brand new field in Africa after 70, and look what the Lord is doing. So as long as the good Lord still has us here, we can still be a successful minister for him. And look at the souls that were just listed, because a man and his wife, after 70 years old, decided, let's go to Africa and start open up a mission field. So we're never too old to get out there and be laborers in the field. Now, this is a good place where somebody puts an amen. Okay, good. There's the somewhere there. So, all right. And Brother Ken, how many years have you been a missionary over there to Israel? It's got to be 48 now, something? 60. See, look at me. So 60 years. So it just tells you, as long as the Lord has us here on this planet, we could still be a successful minister for him. Amen. All right. With that in mind, Dan has been sharing something on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school from the book of Exodus. And it's brought about a thought that we on Wednesday night in our Bible study have covered a couple months back. But it's worth us as a whole family hearing, and I want to talk about it for a minute. And this is going to be a little bit more instructive kind of sermon this morning, a little educational. And one of the only times we get all of us together as a family, barring all the people who are sick and stuff today, is a Sunday morning. So I wanted to go into this. Dan said something interesting. We just reached the Ten Commandments in the study. And I hope you make efforts to be here for Sunday school. It's been a good time reminding ourselves how God has been introducing himself to God's people and how he's been displaying. You know, we have the privilege of having him indwelling us every day. They didn't have that. They didn't have the Word of God, which described who he was. God was making himself known to his people. And it's exciting. But one of the things that kept coming up, and as a reminder, is that God at that point was going to do something different that he had never done before. Okay? And down through the years, he's done this with humanity. We can call it covenants that God has made. Wednesday night Bible study, we threw out a word that sometimes scares some people, but the word is dispensations. Okay, and the Bible very clearly in several places, especially the Apostle Paul, uses that word. So I wanted to look into it, but starting off with the idea of what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so if you were going to rightly divide something, that means it has divisions, right? I play that trivia question, trivia crack or whatever it is online. It's a game where you got to play against other people, and they ask you questions in sports, and you know. And one of the questions was a mathematic question, so I was all over that. I love math stuff, and they just listed four numbers and said, which one is not a prime number? Now, basically, what a prime number, for those of you who are math people, it means it can't be divided down easily. Like the number 3 can't be divided down. The number 7 can't be divided down evenly. Okay, 2, 8, 12, those are not prime numbers. To give you an idea, what we're talking about is there are divisions clearly shown in God's word. The idea behind that is that God, at a certain point, does things a certain way, and then he does something that makes it different from that point forward. And we see that with what we're studying in Exodus. He brings out the Ten Commandments, and from that point forward, things are different. Okay, and we as human beings, and especially those who are studying God's Word, need to be aware of a few of these things. Because we live in an absolutely amazing time in human history. Because of what God has done. Okay, and that's what we'll boil this all down to. It's going to come to a point where we remind each other that this is a special time to be going out and telling people about our Lord and our Savior and our God. Because it's different than any time in history. We have a privilege and an amazing situation. So, with that in mind, we're going to break this down. We're not going to spend a long amount of time, but I want us to see something that is very clear in God's Word that will help. Now, I said all that to let you know that it will also help when you run into other believers and other Christians from different backgrounds who try to present you with ideas that you don't necessarily think are found in the Scripture. It's because they try to take things from a different time period and apply them to right now. And it doesn't work. One of those ones, and we'll be bringing it up, but we have our missionary to the Jews here. And again, just before we go to prayer, I want to set this tone. There are those who are out there who say once you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you become a Jew. Because they misunderstand these divisions that God has naturally put in His Word. We are not Jews. God still has an amazing plan for the children of Israel. And He's going to be working His plan. And again, if you want any information about that, we got a perfect person to go ask about that today. Okay, you don't have to come and see me, but God is going using His church for a special period, and then He's going to be going back to using the children of Israel. We are not Jews, guys. We're something different. He took Gentiles and Jews and made one brand new thing called the church, called a Christian. Okay, but if we're not understanding how these things fit together sometimes, it can confuse us, and somebody can walk up to you from a different church group and try to tell you that we have now become the Jews, and all those Old Testament promises that were the Jews are now ours, and we should be doing things like that in our lives. Okay, got that? That's all intro to the prayer we're about to have, and then we're going to take a quick look at these things in God's Word, and hopefully it makes it very clear to us, all right? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, and Lord, there's times where we preach evangelistic messages, and there's times we preach, Father, uplifting messages, and Father, there's times that Lord just laid on my heart when we're dealing with Exodus and we're seeing the giving of the law, and we know from that point forward you're going to do things differently among human beings. And Father, it's important that we understand You've done that a few times, and Lord, it's important that we understand why You've done that, and it's important to understand why we can rejoice in this time because of the special thing You've done. And Lord, it is an amazing thing. It can help us as we go as laborers out into the field when we understand this amazing privilege that we have living in this time period. So Father, I just pray You to help my mind, help us to be able to put this out in a clear way, Lord, that we can all just see it very truthfully from Your Word. So Father, we ask a blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God has broken it down by way of dispensation, some will call it covenant, some will call it. So I want to walk down this just briefly so we can see things and see how God divides things up. Now, I want us to understand that God still has always saved man's soul by His grace. And it's belief in the truth that God has presented that allows God to impute His righteousness to us. Salvation has never changed. But the way in which God makes that salvation available to groups of people is different. Okay? And this is important we understand this. So, we're going to go right to the first thing. What's the first thing that happened in this world with humans? They were created, right? In the Garden of Eden. Yes? You with me? Okay, Adam and Eve. All right, we're back in this way. I know some of you are old, but not that old. Okay? So, back to the Garden of Eden, where God has human beings in innocence. Okay? They are not sinless, they are innocent. Okay? God and Jesus Christ are sinless. Okay? When He created Adam and Eve, He created them without sin, but it doesn't mean they were sinless. They were innocent. They had not yet sinned. Okay? At that point in time, there wasn't a whole lot of information and a whole lot of things that God needed to say and do, because they were already in the presence of God in perfect relationship with Him. Okay, you understand that? There's a time period. There was no need for a Savior. There was no need for the law. There was no need for the Word of God to be out in the written form, that is. There was no need for anything. God had given His righteousness to Adam and Eve because He could, because they did not have any sin in their life. But then something happens. And we're not going to preach about the fall, because we can spend a lot of time on that. But both Adam and Eve sin. And from that point forward, God's dealing with mankind changes. And God has to make a covenant with Adam, and He does. He curses the ground, He curses the earth, He makes a covenant about thy seed and her seed and working, tilling the ground, and God has to change the rules a little bit and say, from this point forward, you're going to have to do something different to get back in the proper relationship with me, because you've lost that. So we had an innocence where the only thing that controlled them was their idea that they had no sin. Now we get to the point on the other side of the fall, and God deals with mankind in just their conscience. There's no written word. There's no preachers at the time. God has put within man a knowledge of what he should be doing and not doing. And honestly, we don't have a whole lot of information about that. We do know that when Cain killed Abel, and we talked about this in Sunday school, that Cain offered an offering, and God said to him, listen, if you were doing the right thing, you know you wouldn't be in trouble, which gives him the idea that he knew what was the right thing to do. He just didn't do it. So at that point, God's dealing something a little different, and man is functioning on this earth under a covenant that God has given with Adam. Until man gets himself a little too prideful, and gets himself all gathered together and starts building a Tower of Babel under a leader who was trying to usurp God's authority on this earth. And God brings a flood. And from that point forward, things change forever. From the garden, the fall comes. God needs to change things and deal with how he deals with man. It's different. Then the flood comes, and God brings Noah and his family on the other side of the flood and gives them a covenant. And begins to establish things not through necessarily just man's conscience and what he knows to be right, but now through a government system, through Ham, Shem, and Japheth, which he begins to build these nations. And that doesn't work. And down through the years, all these different groups of people, and we could sit here forever naming the Amorites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Schedabites and all the rest of them out there. Okay, and the world fills with governments that are in war with each other and taking each other captive and all the different things that are going on. And then God calls out a man by the name of Abraham. And he decides he's going to establish a family through this man. And he makes a covenant with Abraham. And things change. And they'll never be the same again. Because he makes a covenant. And now he's going to have a relationship with humanity through this man and his family. And your seed will be as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea. And for quite some time that works. And we see it in the Word of God where it says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And that is his qualification because he is the God that's represented by that family. But all of a sudden that continues to fall apart. And we see it. You go through the Old Testament. We don't got time to go step by step. But how many of the sons of Abraham and the sons of Jacob have made bad decisions and the tribes have their issues and everything else. But before we get there, we step up where Dan has been teaching. And God has been dealing with the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, and they go into captivity in Egypt. And then Moses steps on the scene, and God calls a deliverer out, and God delivers the children of Israel from Egypt, that picture of the world, and brings them out across to Mount Sinai, and God gives them the law. And things change again forever. And the way God deals with things. And for now, until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ himself steps on the scene, everyone is functioning under the law that God has given to Israel. And that is how you are going to be in a right relationship with God, is by keeping the law, by understanding God's nature. And again, go listen to Sunday school. I don't have to reteach this. Everything that God gave us in the law was not rules and regulations to oppress us. It was to give us freedom to understand what we could do. And it was also to give us the knowledge of the nature of who God really was. He's not a liar. He's not a thief. He cares about his name. He cares about life. He cares about all those things that make God who he is. He conveys to us by his law. And then Jesus steps on the scene. An amazing thing happens. Now I want you to look at this. Why did God break history down into groups like this? Well, there's several reasons. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. I want to write them in order. Number one, to prove that man can never recover or preserve his own soul. That the only way that man has any ability to deal with his sin problem, to deal with his weakness, is God himself. To prove that man's only hope is a relationship with God. Now let me walk this down for a second, because I want you to hear and think about today and what we hear in the news and everything. Number one, God says, I'm going to give you a time period in which your conscience will guide you. And Adam and Eve flunked that royally. But you think about today and how many people think and do and try to make their way with God because of what they think or what they feel. They base it on Jiminy Crickets whispering in my ear. And you know, I'm a good person, all judged on what I think of my own self. Then God begins to deal it through different governments. I don't even have to mention this, I don't think, but I think we know for a fact that our government is not going to help us get right with God. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse and worse. But God leaves it in the hand of government for a little while to prove that government's not going to be able to get us. But God then transfers it to a family. It says, you know, let's show mankind that even if you're in the right family, it's not going to get you right with God. And today we have a lot of people in churches, and a lot of people who decide not to go to church because they sit home and say, well, my grandma used to be a good Christian and she took me to church when I was a kid. So I'm a Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Baptist or something because grandma was. And they try to base their relationship with God on family. And then God does something with Moses, and he makes a nation. And the nation of Israel is no longer necessarily just a family. Now it's an entire nation. And I don't care what your ethnic background or who you belong to in your genealogical search, it's not going to make you right with God. And the children of Israel, and if you hear, and there's times where, I know Brother Ken experiences this more than I would ever, but you listen to some rabbis and some of those who are making videos and post things online, and they're solely dependent upon the fact that they're born as a Jewish person to be right with God. And it doesn't matter what nation you're from. You see the thing here, what God does? God wants to prove over and over to mankind that no matter what we come up with as some sort of idea to get us right with God, doesn't work. It can't be your family, it can't be your heritage, it can't be your conscience and what you think. As a matter of fact, it can't even be the law. Now, it's great to understand who God is, but none of us can keep the law. We flunk. And then an amazing thing happens. And we're not sharing the Lord's Supper again this morning on the first Sunday of the month, because we will be sharing it on Thursday night. If you remember before Easter, that's one of the things we like to do together. But if we were, you remember what Jesus does when he's here on earth just before he goes to the cross, as he's sitting with Passover, and he takes the Passover and changes it forever. And he says, this is my body. This is my blood. This is the new covenant. And he changes things again. And from this point forward, something brand new is introduced to the scene, and that's a Christian. Now, here's where I want to stop and remind us what an amazing privilege that you and I have. For the first time ever, our sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future, never to be remembered again. For the first time ever, the God of this universe comes to take up permanent residence in us. Permanent. Up until this point, no one had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He would come and go as he pleased. No one had access to God every single day. To pray, you had to go to the priest. To offer sacrifices, you had to go to the temple. You and I have the ability every moment of every day to go boldly before the throne of grace because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Now we're living in a covenant or an age or dispensation of grace. But it doesn't stop there. Pretty soon, and those on Wednesday night who are studying with us, we're talking about the book of Revelation. And right around chapter 4, there's a catching up. And the church is no longer mentioned anymore. And God's dealing with this world is no longer through his grace and God's gospel preached by Christians. It now is a kingdom which the tribulation brings into a 1,000-year period in which God is dealing with his children of Israel on this planet again in a 1,000-year period of a kingdom. But you know what's funny? Even then, even as God is dealing with Jesus Christ on the throne in Jerusalem, with the children of Israel taking their rightful place again as God's people, at the end of that 1,000-year period, human beings still mess up. The devil is loosed one more time, and he deceives a lot of people. You know, you think about, you hear this phrase out in the news called situational ethics, you know, where, oh, if you put a person in the right scenario, you know, all that poor person grew up in the ghetto where crime was really bad, so no wonder they're going to be a criminal. If you put somebody in a good situation where things are really great, they won't be that way. Well, folks, there are going to be people who are living with Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, ruling with a rod of iron, sitting in Jerusalem on the throne in a government that's finally organized the way it should be, and people are still going to choose to walk away from God. I think it's important that you and I understand that what God has done, God has always had a plan. Now, God didn't all of a sudden one day say, oh, you know what, I messed up so bad, I think I'll cause a flood and wipe all these folks out because, oops. God didn't do that. Oh, you know what, the children of Israel, let's give them the law now, because, no, God has been working this system deliberately all down through the years to prove that no matter what scenario we are put in as human beings, we can't do it, that we need a God. Now, just to give yourself an idea, and again, I'm trying to put these things out there to help us as we are approaching those in this world and telling them about the privilege that we have at this time period. God uses or dispenses or oversees all of this time period, and I want you to, I wrote this down specifically, his great... He dispenses his grace to different people in different ways, in different times, for different purposes, according to different covenants. But every one of those things are still the same. Now, with that in mind, let me go to a verse of scripture here that I want you to understand. Now, Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. Because people, this is where I wanted to be instructive a little bit. People will try to tell you, And actually, when I was younger, I'd say these things too, because I wasn't learning as much as I should. That everybody in this world gets salvation. We get saved by Jesus Christ. Abraham was saved. Noah was saved. Moses was saved. Well, that might be true. But please remember, Jesus Christ had not come yet. How could Abraham put his faith in Jesus when Jesus never came to the cross? Well, he knew the Messiah was coming. Well, they didn't even have a clue the Messiah was coming. They didn't have the Word of God written down at that time. Now, here's the key. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? So we're talking about Abraham. Way before Jesus came, way before the law. He says, what did Abraham learn about God? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath it whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that work is the reward reckoned, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Now, I read that whole passage to remind us of one thing. Abraham believed God. That's how Abraham was saved. Okay? Now, Moses did the same thing. God spoke, and Abraham believed it. Cain, Abel, anybody, all the way back then, Adam and Eve, believed God's word, and that's how they got a relationship with God. You with me so far? Please, I want you to be understood. It's never changed. God offers his grace to mankind. He always has. But the key is us believing what God has said. Now, the special thing that I want to talk about for you and I today is the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the same thing. The Old Testament, when God said to Adam, I'm going to bruise his head, and you know, you're going to bruise his heel, and you're going to tell his salvation was based upon believing what God told him. When Abraham was called out, God says right here, he believed God, and God said, okay, I'm going to offer you my righteousness because you believe me. Well, you and I do the same thing. If you and I understand that Jesus Christ is Savior, and we ask him to save us, we confess with our mouth who he is and believe in our heart, we're saved. But we have a special privilege. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We know this verse, but I want to remind us of this amazing privilege. Please don't misunderstand what's going on here. Down through history, every human being that has walked this planet has had the opportunity to get God's grace by believing on what God has said and acting upon that. There's something different, though, since the Lord Jesus Christ came. 1 John 5, let's look at verse 11 first. And this is the record, that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But John says, you can know that ye have eternal life. Now, guys, we've been talking about this. Again, the term that's used in Christianity is eternal security. You can know without a doubt. Now, let me remind you, and this is why I'm saying all this stuff. If you would have asked Adam and Eve if they would have been absolutely guaranteed of their salvation in heaven, they couldn't answer yes. If you would have asked Abraham, if you would have asked Noah, if you would have asked Moses, all of those things were dependent upon them attempting to keep the law and believing in God, but it was never a guarantee. What you and I have right now, since Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for the sins of the entire world, we have an absolute guarantee that if you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, your sins are forgiven, and you can know. When you know something, what does that mean? Maybe so, maybe not. It means you're sure, right? It's absolutely a positive. The Lord kind of led me in the direction of this because we've been studying some of the religious groups that are out there in this world that will try to tell you you can lose your salvation, that it's not a guarantee. There's those who will tell you, and we just studied this last week, didn't we, guys, that you have to eat like an Old Testament believer and you have to keep the Old Testament law. And there's no such thing as Jews anymore, but we are now the Jews and you have to do all those things. Listen, the law never guaranteed salvation. And people who want to tell you and I that we need to keep it, it's not true. You and I need to be able to go out into this world as laborers into the harvest, understanding we have a message that when you look at the entire of history is something absolutely amazing. I have some Seventh-day Adventist friends that I work with, and they'll love to tell you that Jesus came and died for sin, but they'll also try to tell you that that's great, but you have to keep the law to guarantee your salvation. I have some Roman Catholic friends who will try to tell you that you have to give so much and pray so much and hopefully someday the good things you do outweigh the bad things you do, but you're only going to know that when you stand before God and he says, well, let's see. We have some JW folks and some Mormons and some others who will try to tell you all kinds of different things. Understand the privilege that you and I have. John says, I write these things unto you so that you guys can know that ye have eternal life. There's no question. It's a positive. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Even in the time period when Jesus Christ himself is sitting on the throne, there will be those who don't stay by the stuff and wind up going off into judgment and not having salvation. You and I live in an amazing time. We have a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can take to someone and guarantee them a relationship with God that through the ages hasn't been a guarantee. Am I trying to get this point across? Are we seeing it? If you and I had I got this weird, funny scam. I'll warn you about it. If you get a email or a text from somebody, maybe somebody you know, because they hijack people's friends lists, and it'll say, I just wound up getting $25,000 given to me by the something, something, something fund. They'll make up the name. And it said all I had to do was apply online and do this, and you'll get given $25,000, they choose a certain amount of people. So please, send me your information and $25,95 or whatever it is, and they try to scam you. Okay, and you know that it's a scam. And I wound up, what's funny is Barb DePew got the same scam from the same person that we know. And I said, I was typing and I said, have you let anybody else know this? And the person says, no, not yet. You're the first person. And I said, no, my friend Barb got the same text from this account. All of a sudden, bloop, this account is no longer active. They deleted me off the account, you know, because the scam is out there. It's awful. My point being, if you knew 100% that all of a sudden, everybody that you know, if they would just show up and ask somebody, they could get $25,000 in cash. No questions asked, without a doubt, absolute guarantee. See, I was skeptical. Nobody gets $25,000 cash for nothing. Oh, it's a great grant. It was, you know, some fund. And, you know, anybody who applies, you know, they'll choose certain people. I'm like, you know, skeptical. You and I have something amazing that we can tell people. There's no question. We don't have to be skeptical. It's not through conscience or through government or through a family or through a nation or even through a millennial kingdom. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ, guaranteed, that we can go out and offer people a relationship with God that cannot be taken away. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting thing in Matthew chapter 24, and some people misread this scripture, and this is one of the reasons why we need to be careful in how we divide the word of truth. Dealing with God's people in the tribulation period, Matthew chapter 24, and you can read in the context, if you like, of this whole passage. We're talking about God taking a remnant of his people from Israel and hiding them. And this is the beginning of sorrows and Jacob's sorrows, which we know is a talk of the tribulation. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this, a woman that, that's not the verse I want, Craig. That's because it's the wrong chapter. All right, them bifocals are coming in, I promise. 24:13, that makes a big difference. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And if we're not careful, somebody will come up to you, and I've heard it from different religious groups, and say, see, you're not guaranteed your salvation. You have to endure to the end. But this is talking to the Jews in the tribulation period, not to Christians. See how important it is to understand the time period that we live in? We have eternal life that is guaranteed. This is an amazing time period. So, I know this was kind of scholastic and this was kind of, you know, all this information. The entire reason I gave this to us is so that you and I would realize the amazing opportunity that we are presented. The children of Israel, and Dan's going to continue. Ah, there we are. As we look at the children of Israel coming out off of Mount Sinai, and they're given the law and all the different details with that, there's never once in there that they are guaranteed a salvation forever. But we are. Please don't misunderstand the opportunity. I don't know about you, that gets me excited about going telling people about Jesus. Because if you can get somebody to understand that all the rest of the stuff that God allowed mankind to try couldn't cut it. Only through faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we believe and God puts his grace because of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, that we can have a guarantee. God is doing something amazing in this time period. And I think sometimes places like Sierra Leone, where they're hearing it for some of the first time ever, and it's passing through like wildfire, I think sometimes in New England, where we've been doing this for 400-500 years, we might lose a passion for exactly what it means to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. that is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is something that changed lives. So as we are considering going out as laborers into this field, we're going to run into a lot of crazy ideas out there when attached to the name of Jesus Christ. You please remember, we have something absolutely amazing. If somebody would trust in Him, confess their sins, and understand that He is the only guaranteed way to have that right relationship with God. Not family, not culture, not nation, not background, not even what you think about yourselves. But by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now sometimes this was one of those, you can't see the forest for the trees kind of thing. We had to take a step back and look at the entire forest. Do you understand from beginning to end God had this thing planned out? Every step. Now go out today with some excitement and tell people that they can be guaranteed. Because one of the things of absolute truth is it won't be long and He's coming. And when He does take us out as His church, and the Holy Spirit is also removed, because once the Christians who have the Holy Spirit indwelling them full time, once the church is gone, the Holy Spirit goes into that sort of spot deal again, where He's just going to be dealing with people. You wonder why the tribulation is going to be so bad. You take the influence, look how bad things are getting, and the Holy Spirit is here working through us. Take the Holy Spirit out of this place and see what happens. Take God's people who are here with the gospel and the morality and the commandments and all the things that God has put in us. You take that representation out, no wonder the place goes so downhill so quickly. We don't have that much more time. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be in stuffy old granite-headed New England where everything is cold to the gospel anymore. I'd like to be understanding that there's still an opportunity to present Christ to these folks. Yeah, they've heard it from Mary Baker Eddy, and they've heard it from Joseph Smith. And I mean, there's a lot of history up here of people twisting the gospel. We have to understand the gospel has still got that power, and it still delivers souls. And we need to go ahead and take it and share it. So maybe we won't see 2,000 people saved in this area like they just had in Sierra Leone. But it doesn't mean the power of the gospel has any less. Amen. So thank you for this morning. Again, sometimes as a pastor, you look back and say, you know, sometimes we need to step back and just instruct a little bit, give ourselves an idea of the entire scope of what we're doing, and then understand we are in an amazing time. Go out there, please, as laborers, and tell somebody that they can have their sins forgiven and they can spend an eternity in heaven guaranteed because of what Jesus Christ has done.